The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Having a story, because I think a lot lately, you know, people get in disagreements or arguments or whatever, and they forget that everybody has a story and a reason for who they are and how they react and what they're saying or doing or their behavior in general. And although it's not typically an excuse, there's a reason that people are the way that they are, all of us. So I think it's important for people to actually understand that and to be understanding. So we're going to talk about that, as well as other things beyond that. And if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. But first of all, I'm trying to mention BTR's new format. If you come on blogtalkradio.com/offlimits, then you'll to listen to my show. If you listen to my show that way, as opposed to podcasts or other methods, if you come to listen live, it's not going to show me that I'm actually on live, even though I am live. I may have been on the air for 6 minutes now, almost 7 minutes, and it's still not showing me as airing live on their open page, their first page, which is bad because people who are interested in coming to the show don't know I'm actually speaking live right now. They think I'm just coming up or I haven't started the show. So that is a bit frustrating. Hopefully they will have all of the kinks worked out of this system shortly. Until then, I'll just make do. I was doing a show yesterday on gay marriage, or I started one for about 10 minutes, and then I had some major issues right after they switched over to the new format on BTR. So I think it's probably as a result of that, unfortunately, so that show wasn't able to air. So I'm going to do a show on gay marriage, a show on gay marriage on Monday. So if you want to hear that show, come back on Monday and listen then. I listen to the archives or listen on iTunes. I did a show about it a while back, and it was actually the very first show I did. It was a couple of years ago on Blog Talk Radio, and I figured it's kind of time to talk about it again since it's in the news, et cetera. So we'll talk about that as well. Also, Blog Talk Radio has finally, after I've requested many, many times in the past 2 years, for them to add a GLBT category to their shows, because they have categories for everything else, like conservative politics and religion and talk and, everything. And they didn't have one for GLBT, and I've always resented that. And finally, they've added one, so I'm proud to say that they've done that, and I'm glad. Although I'm sure it wasn't because they necessarily approve of it, because they're owned by a pretty conservative group. They added it, so I commend them for doing that, because it was necessary and needed, especially for my show. So from now on, my show will always be in the GLBTQ category on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to search for shows that way, you can always search my show also just by searching for Off Limits, or searching for my handle on there, Iconoclast Texas, or just searching the word gay, and I'll probably come up, my show will, and you can click on my name to find the upcoming shows. You can also go to offlimitsshow.com. You can find me on Twitter at Twitter/offlimitsshow, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/offlimitsradio. So feel free to check those out as well. So what we're talking about tonight is the fact that there are, all of us have come across people that we don't like, or people that we don't get along with for one reason or another. And sometimes those reasons are warranted, and sometimes they aren't. Sometimes it's just personality conflict. Sometimes it's they've done something to you specifically, And so there are many times when those things are definitely warranted. People will say things to hurt you, or intentionally, or things to make you angry, or just to get under your skin, or try to. And you have to respond to that however you feel is appropriate, depending on the situation. If somebody is really just coming at you with everything they have, just to be mean or evil or rude, then that person doesn't really command or deserve your respect or tolerance. But if it's just someone who, it's your decision to decide who is and isn't worthy of trying to remember that they have a story. But, there are people I've run across in my lifetime, and I've been all of my entire life, I have been subjected to, slings and arrows, of verbal slings and arrows, I guess. And people, calling me names or saying this or that, in a negative light. And, I have my own story to tell, just like everybody else. I have a story that's really quite emotionally, it's emotionally traumatic. My life has been emotionally traumatic, I'll put it that way. And, you know, I was fortunate to have a great mom and a great grandmother who both raised me, and fortunate to have love in my life and those things. But, you know, in the rest of the world outside of the safe haven of my home life, you know, it was very different. People were very, very mean to me growing up. And, you know, there are people who were mean to me, there are people who were my friends, and there are people who were racist or people who were prejudiced against gays or whatever. So, you know, just to say that people often experience these things, but the level of it that I experienced growing up was, for someone like myself who is very sensitive and who actually just likes people in general, was very difficult. So, you know, I have written a memoir about a period of my life from, you know, birth and the craziness that surrounded my own birth and the drama that it created, as well as my life up through college, because those are the most traumatic years of my life. All those, the first, you know, 22 so years of my life were the most traumatic emotionally for me. And of course it continued throughout my life, but by the time I was that age, it began to become, you know, people were more of an adult than they were then. I was dealing more of adults. So, my point is, though, is that, you know, I'm not going to go into all the story, but I have plenty of stories to tell and plenty of things that have happened to me personally in my life and that have caused me to be the person I am today, caused me to react the way I do to certain things, to cause me to feel protective of certain types of people, to cause me to stand up to certain types of bigotry or ignorance or hatred or just people who are just being mean for the sake of it. I mean, I have become the person that I have become because I am a sum of my experiences, just like you and everybody else who's listening, just like anyone else out there who has lived a life. You are a culmination of your experiences. So it isn't anything special to be that or to be who you are. I mean, everybody's special, but you know what I mean. It's not different to be who you are because of what you've experienced, because everybody is who they are for the same reason. So what I'm challenging people to do is to remember that when you are encountering someone that is, you know, it could be considered your enemy or someone who has been mean to you or whatever, then you have to remember the fact that that person has a story. So I'm going to use some examples. I mean, I've had people, I use BTR as an example, I use my own life as an example as well, but I'm trying to think who I could use as an example, first of all. You know, let's just say I have a friend when I was growing up, and their name was Lindsay. And Lindsay and I were very, very close, you know, since I was 9. And we were very good friends, but we were very different people. I was very, very well-adjusted, I guess you'd say. I was very much the same person I am now in terms of my sensitivity level and understanding of people. And she was a kind person and all those things as well, but she had a very different life than I did. I was raised in a very loving home with people who were very protective and people who were very considerate and understanding and instilled a sense of safety in my life, instilled a sense of understanding of other people and a sensitivity to other people and those kinds of things. She, unfortunately, was the product of a home where she had a single mother just like I did, but her mother dated a lot, brought several men around her, whatever, and she was molested by a couple of them. I didn't know this at the time, of course, but she was a product of all of those things that she experienced, and so she had a very she didn't have a sense of security, the sense of security that I had growing up. And so, you know, as a result of that, she didn't seem to put as much emphasis on relationships as I did. I clung to relationships very tightly, and I still do today, because they are incredibly important to me, and I find them to be the most important aspect of life and living, because without it, you are essentially just a shell of a person. And so anyway, my point is that she did not put the same emphasis or importance upon relationships that I did. And I found that, you know, that was very hurtful for someone like me, who was very loving, caring, and clung to people very tightly and didn't want to let them go. And I considered us best friends, and so did she. We were best friends. And we were very close, and she was kind to me and everything. But she, growing up, we kind of, as we got older, began to diverge in how we saw the world. And as a result of her upbringing and her traumas, et cetera, that she experienced, you know, she didn't put the same emphasis on friendships as I did. However, when it came to relationships, she clung to them desperately, looking for a father figure, looking for someone who would take care of her, looking for someone who would love her. And she was also kind of over-sexualized because she'd been molested as a child. So she had become who she was in her past. I mean, it's like impossible to escape your childhood, because even if you run away and you move somewhere completely different, or another country or whatever, I mean, you can move to another planet if it were possible. I mean, wherever you move, you know, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Your past will always be with you. Who you are is always going to be there. You cannot escape it. So it's only a person's decision to make a change in how they react to the situations in which they encounter in life. And that, you know, therein lies the difference between someone who's successful in life and someone who isn't, essentially. So my point is, talking about Lindsay, is that she and I, you know, we were very close until I was about 22 years old. And then she had a child, and she got married, and then she kind of stopped talking because, you know, the guys she married, the guys she liked, were all like rednecks and people who didn't like gay people and people of different races or anything like that. So even though she wasn't like that personally, that's the kind of guy she was attracted to, kind of like roughneck guys. And so we fell out of talking for a long time until I was about 32. And then we got back to friendship again. And so coming back to that friendship again after all that time, I figured, wow, I was like, you know, someone I really, really felt close to. I felt like I was home again. We were very close again. We certainly enjoyed our time together as friends. But I began to realize that she was the same person she was when we were kids. She was the same person who was very selfish, self-centered. She would only take upon herself that which was not going to inconvenience her personally. She didn't think about other people and her actions, how they affected them. She was just a very selfish person. And so that began to come out again when we were older, and it did. And I just cut off our friendship, and I was done with her. I confronted her about something she'd promised me to do two or three times. I gave her three or four options, and she still didn't show up to do what she was supposed to do. And it was the same old story as when we were kids. So she was the same person she was when we were kids. And I was the same person I was when we were kids, to some degree, in the sense that when I was a kid, she would make promises, she would continually break them and not even think twice about it and how it made me feel. And the same thing was happening now as an adult. So that was her story. Her story and my story, although they were different, we both have our own stories and our ways of experiencing this planet. And so because of that, we could not come to a meeting of the minds between us. She, unfortunately, just never felt that she had done anything wrong because she had kids. She had to make her kids priority. I understand that. But the thing is, I've given her several different opportunities and chances to do the same thing, and she'd never done it three or four times, the same excuse after excuse after excuse. So she never made me a priority as her friend, although I did it for her constantly. Not only that, I went out of my way 100 miles to go see her graduate as an adult, and she couldn't go do the same thing for me, just come to a dinner for me, dinner party for my birthday, even though I'd given her three different dates to come because I was celebrating it three different times. So my point is that everybody has a story, and her story and my story, although different, we grew up different, we ended up being the same person ultimately in the end, as adults, as we were as kids. Because I don't think you can really escape it. I think ultimately you are the person you were as a child. So anyway, we're talking about that tonight. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to discuss that. And we're going to talk about conflicts you have with people and how you can kind of get around, or how you can try to understand even your enemies and how that can help to not only diffuse the situation, but you can end up being friends with them. And also, it can help you to better understand yourself. So I'll be right back and we'll discuss that as well. If you want to call in, by the way, the number is 323-843-6160. I'll be right back. So we're back. We're talking about personal stories. Everybody has a story and how that affects people's relationships and how it can bring you closer together. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. One thing that's, everybody knows that has my show anyway, people who've listened to my show before, that I'm a gay man and that I have, I've been out since I was 14 years old. And I've had plenty of people call me faggot or who don't like gay people or whatever. Of course, it's just part of being gay because that's what happens when you're gay. People don't like you because of it. Closed-minded, ignorant bigots don't like you. Anyway, excuse me. So even though I've run across many, many people, whom have had issues with me, once I've
I don't really necessarily hold it against them that they don't. I mean, I do hold it against them. Let me rephrase that. I don't like people who do that and who are bigoted or anything of that nature, obviously. People who listen to my show know I abhor bigotry or racism or prejudice in any fashion. But the thing is, people who do shout those kinds of things at me or hate gay people or whatever, usually there's something behind them and their desire or their feeling for gay people as well. You know, everybody has a story. So their story may be something, maybe they were someone who experienced a gay experience as a child. They thought that may make them gay because they had a gay experience or experimented as a child, which is very typical and common, even for heterosexual boys. Even though it's not, doesn't make them gay necessarily. It just means that they're just experimenting. So that's typical. But there's something in their past possibly that has caused them to be so hate-filled and hate-mongering towards people who are different than they are. And perhaps that person grew up with very limited amount of love or affection from their family and their friends. And perhaps they grew up in a very bigoted home. And so as a result of that, those beliefs were passed down to them. And that happens a lot as well. Unfortunately, people don't, people that happens to, a lot of times they don't even take the time to actually think about what they feel. So let's say somebody's calling you names and saying you're disgusting or whatever, like people who were calling me faggot in middle school. Well, you know, a lot of times those people who call me faggot in middle school turn out to be gay themselves, and they were just trying to deflect any kind of questions about themselves off of them and onto me. And, you know, that happens a lot as well. And so there's a self-hatred that occurs, and there's self-hatred that directs people to somehow act in a really, you know, horrible manner just because they want to feel better about themselves. So now, although I understand those things, I understand the reasoning behind it, it doesn't mean I forgive them for it or that I think it's okay or acceptable. It's just, it's not an excuse, it's a reason. So if you do know someone that is like that, and you can try to sit down, if they're actually capable of sitting down and discussing with you why they believe what they believe or feel, which typically is not the case, most of the time, they're impossible to have an actual realistic conversation with, mostly because their belief system comes from religion or something of that nature. But whatever the case, if you're able to sit down and actually have a discussion with them and actually talk to them, you can get to the root of why, if they're actually open-minded enough to do that, the root of why they feel the way they do. And you can assuage their fear, because that's what it is. It's homophobia, you know, afraid of fear of homosexuals or whatever. That is what it means by fear. It's not necessarily that they're afraid physically for their lives or anything. It's just that it's something they don't understand and they're ignorant about it typically, or they've been, you know, brainwashed. So if you get to the root of it and you have an actual conversation with somebody and explain to them who you are, what you're about, what you're not about, what the stereotypes are versus what the reality is, then you can really have a meeting of the minds and some sort of real understanding. And as I said, it doesn't excuse their behavior, but a lot of times simply having that meeting of the minds will create an atmosphere in which people can actually become, you know, have a tolerance for each other. Yeah, you don't like me because I'm gay. I don't like you because you're a bigot, but that doesn't mean you have to yell epithets at me, and it doesn't mean I have to think that you're generally just a disgusting person. Although it's difficult not to think that when somebody acts that way. Anyway, so, but the point is trying to understand people instead of hating them. It can become enlightening. For example, you know, people on Blog Talk Radio that I don't particularly enjoy or like, other hosts, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, people who call me horrible names on here and said horrible things about me, even though I've said nothing about them at all. In any light, they just don't like me because I'm gay or whatever the reason, because I'm liberal-minded, whatever the reason is, they don't like me. You know, and I honestly would love to sit down and have a discussion and try to understand better why they don't like me so much. Not because it matters, but because I have an interest in human nature and I want to know what the fuck is their problem. You know, what is their issue? Where did it come from? Why do they feel the way they do? I probably should have been a psychiatrist or a psychologist or something, because, you know, every time I encounter people like that, so filled with hatred and so filled with, you know, ignorance, I have an instantaneous desire to try to understand where that's coming from, as opposed to just hating them. I feel sorry for them. And that's the truth. I mean, I really honestly feel sorry for people who act that way or who feel that way, because they are so filled with hatred and they don't know where it's coming from. They don't care where it's coming from. They don't do enough self-reflection or introspection to care enough to do any introspection or reflection on the personality and why they are the way they are, or where this hatred comes from other people, people different than they are, whether it's gay or different races or whatever. And the fact is that although these people all have a reason for being that way, what I don't excuse is that they don't actually take the time to try to enlighten themselves about not just themselves, but about other people. So those people who do that and hate people because they're different than they are, they probably were raised in a racist environment, like Texas in general, or they were raised in a very conservative household, or based on some religious beliefs. And this is what I challenge everybody to do. I challenge everybody to actually take everything you've ever been taught by anybody about anything, and instead literally take your mind to someone that you necessarily may hate or dislike or whatever, and go to them with an open mind and try, if they're willing and able to have an honest discussion with you, to sit there with a blank mind and actually discuss with them what their thoughts are on things and why. And everything you've been taught, throw it out of your mind. Every single thing you've ever been taught, and take in everything that they're saying with an open mind, and then filter that through your life experiences and then make a decision, instead of simply taking what you've been taught by everybody else, you know, whether it's your religion or your parents or your friends or family or husband or wife or whatever, instead of taking what you've been taught for granted or as truth, simply take what you've been taught, throw it out, and teach yourself what is and isn't true about people in general, whether it's race or religion or whatever. And, you know, it is important to understand that people all have a place that they're coming from. So, you know, that person who's highly religious may have been, as I said, raised in a really religious household, and it may have been simply beaten into them. I mean, there are people who are so religious, and there are religions that actually beat their religion into people almost literally, and sometimes literally, to the point that they're so afraid to leave the religion, and they can't think for themselves because they've been taught not to think for themselves. They've been taught to simply believe what they've been told and to simply follow like sheep. And so that is a very dangerous slope. And it applies not just to religion, it applies to everything. It applies to whether you're religious or atheist, or whether you're, whether it's about racism or homophobia or whatever the case may be. It applies to every single person, because everything you believe, you know, comes from somewhere. About somebody, it comes from somewhere. So whether, like I said, it comes from your teachers or whatever, it comes from somewhere. So if you're actually have a mind strong enough to resist everything you've been told, and I had to go through this deprogramming, and not just about religion, but about everything, about religion and about race, even different races. And I was raised around really highly my mother and my grandmother, but people around me where I'd spend my summers anyway in East Texas, I'd spend my summers there with my grandmother, were very racist people. And I sometimes was on the brunt end of that, and sometimes I wasn't. But whatever the case may be, I had to deprogram myself from thinking about other people that way. I could have easily have thought about every Mexican being, you know, disgusting, lazy, wetback, as they call them, these people around me at the time, or blacks being all lazy, or whites being all hate-filled and evil. I mean, I could have thought all of these things on my own, but instead of doing that, I took it and literally had to deprogram myself and remember that everybody comes from somewhere and they have something that is causing them to think the way that they do. It's not like people just go around and decide someday they want to actually be an asshole or a bigot or whatever. It's because that's what they've been taught. It's because that's who they were told to be. So I have tremendous respect for people who can actually take what they have been told and actually throw it out and make a decision themselves about, you know, whatever the case may be, instead of actually just taking it as gospel or whatever you want to call it. So that's what I wanted to say about that. I'll be right back after this. I just want to quickly say that the one distinction I think that makes doing this, trying to understand somebody that is your enemy or whatever, is if someone is simply just an asshole. I mean, sometimes that happens. Sometimes people are not, you know, understanding or care to be. Some people are just assholes, generally just don't give a shit about people in general and just hate people or whatever. So if that's the case, you don't even waste your breath or your time. If somebody has continually been evil to you or mean to you for no reason, for no fault of your own, and you have done nothing to them, which has been the case and sometimes is the case, then that's a different story, and I think that you owe them nothing. But I think if someone is simply exhibiting behavior that is, parroting what they've been taught or told, or they're a result of their environment, and that's it. And they haven't really stepped back to think about it, and they are a reasonable person. That's the key. They're a reasonable person, which often isn't the case with people like that. But if that's the case, then you can try to take that person aside and try to have a conversation with them about who they are and what they're about, and try to just have a meeting of the minds and try to understand who they are instead of trying to tear them down, for them to try to tear you down. I mean, it really makes a lot more sense to me to actually try to get along with people and try to understand people instead of trying to always constantly tear them down, which unfortunately seems to be the MO for most people these days, especially online. So hope that you can take something from the show. Hope to see you on Monday. Gay Marriage Show will be a full 2-hour show on Monday. And going to come on probably at 10 p.m. Central Monday. It may be later, but probably 10 p.m. Central. So hope to see you then. Thanks and have a good night.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.